You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy 3. I want to just read a verse or two there, and I'm going to comment and talk a little bit, and then we'll go to some other verses if we have time. You know, I don't know if you realize it, but it's Thanksgiving. This is where, you know, all the turkeys go back to Mexico. Real turkeys, I'm not talking about people. Turkeys go back to Mexico because they don't have Thanksgiving in Mexico, you know. It is a United States of America holiday. And in honor, you know, of God, the pilgrims coming across over. And you remember Plymouth Rock, you knew the story. Everybody dressed up probably as kids as, you know, as a pilgrim or a turkey or an Indian or somebody. But, you know, traditionally we have always honored God in this country and thanked Him for our life and our sustenance and our protection. It's amazing to me that those pilgrims, early pilgrims, when they had that first Thanksgiving, they dug more graves than they built huts. They buried a lot of people. And I think sometimes we forget the price that people pay, which I'm going to get into a little bit of that when we talk about thankfulness. Ultimately, we're going to talk about thanking God for sure. But we need to be thankful of each other and thankful for our country. And it should be an attitude we have. Amen? You know, people tend to repeat what you praise and repeat what you talk about. It's amazing how you just constantly own people all the time about stuff. They keep doing the same thing. If you'll turn around and praise them and thank them and look for good, you know, they'll repeat that. I'm just of the persuasion here in this church that when you come here, that you have a heart for God or you wouldn't be here. You have a hunger for God or you wouldn't come. You didn't have to come. So I'm not here to hit you over the head with a 2x4. Are you with me? We'll talk about sin. It's bad and it's ugly and it'll hurt you. And I'll always stand up for righteousness and what's right. But I always want to encourage you and help you and praise you in one respect for coming. Thank you for coming. I mean, you know, it'd just be me and my family. Of course, that's still 50 people, just my family. But that's not true. I've got 5 children and 15 grandchildren and. But I appreciate you coming. You don't have to come. You don't have to come listen to me. You could have gone to another church or stayed home, but you came. You know, and God's pleased. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Beat you over the head, you know. I tell you, some people just leave church worse for wear. Church ought to be a place you look forward to coming to, a place where you get some help. Hallelujah. A place where you get encouraged, a place where you hook up with people, you know, and develop relationships, lifetime, eternal relationships. And get some hope and help and healing. Hallelujah. You've been out in the world all week. You know, you've heard the news. You've heard the bad news. Now here you are. You can hear the good news. Amen. All is not lost. There's hope. You can face the future with courage. And you have a destiny and a hope. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's on your side. And God before you, who can be against you? Amen. You win in God. So thank you for coming. I don't think we thank each other enough. You know, thank people for what they do. We're just a product of a lot of people's lives, of a lot of help along life's way. There's no such thing as a self-made man. No such thing. Every one of us had mentors. Every one of us had, you know, helpers. Even if you had a rough childhood and a messed up background, somebody helped you. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. We need each other. We were made for each other. We weren't made to serve alone. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, gave you plenty of time to get to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, notice what it says here in the third chapter. Starts out a little negative, but I'm going to expound on that. Negative in the sense that it's an indictment on our times, but we can turn that around. God forewarns us of things to avoid them. You know, God forewarned Noah about the flood so he could avoid it. He forewarned a lot about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah so he could avoid it. I believe He's forewarned us about the end times so we can go up to heaven in the rapture. Hallelujah, somebody. But I think He forewarns us of a lot of things in life that we could avoid if we'll just turn it around. So it says here, but know this, and I'm reading from New King James Version. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Wow, that's prophetic, isn't it? This is written some 2,000 years ago. Perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, Wow. Does that pretty well sum it up? I mean, when you look around, that pretty well does sum it up. Now, everybody's not bad. You're here. Amen? And, you know, there are some. There are always a remnant. There's always people that are going to serve God. There's always someone that's going to call on His name. And it will go against the flow, against the flow of the world. And we are Christians. We do swim against the flow. You know, any old dead log can float downriver. It takes a live fish to swim upstream. And we're alive. But it's interesting that included in all this, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Boy, see that on television every day. Isn't that amazing? Disobedient to parents. You never notice that even family shows on TV seem like the punchlines are when the kid smarts off to the parents. You ever notice that? I'm not here to blast television. I watch television. I got shows I watch. And I think television is a great tool to preach the gospel. And I think we ought to be more responsible than we are. It's getting to where you can't even watch commercials now or previews of the shows that are coming on because you're sitting there with your little grandkids and you're going, whoa, whoa. Are you with me? That's a sad thing, isn't it? I mean, you used to say, well, if you don't like, just turn it off. But you just have to leave it off completely. Because when do you turn it off? You turn it off 1,500 times. You just mute it, you know. And then, but we're living in that age. Things that weren't really said and done publicly and, you know, talked about publicly. I'm amazed on news. You can't even watch the news hardly. And I do watch the news. But, you know, they'll start explaining something that went on. Instead of telling you something happened, they give you all the sordid details. And that wasn't done years ago. I mean, they can't just leave it at this happened. They got to tell you exactly what happened and who said what and who did what. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What is this? I mean, your kids can't even watch the news with you without you explaining to them what this is all about. So we're living at a time that's just blasphemous. We're living at a time boasters and proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. I think there's a connection there. If you live your life just trying to get what you can get out of it, and you don't acknowledge people's help in your life, acknowledge God, acknowledge your country. Thank God for this country. Listen, I love America. I don't hate America. I love America. I've traveled around the world. I've been to India. I've been to Guatemala and El Salvador. I've been to Australia. I've been to Great Britain. Been to South Africa. I've preached in countries all around the world. There is no place like this country. There is no country like the United States of America. And I mean, we're just people like anybody else, but I tell you, we have certain freedoms in this country. We have certain liberties in this country that you don't find around the world. We have prosperity in this, as bad as they want to talk about how this country's doing, the economy and so on and so forth, and we do have our challenges. It's still the greatest place on the face of this earth that I know of to live. And I thank God for it. I'm not ungrateful. I'm thankful for this country. You know, it goes on and says this. Man, I want to get off this negative stuff and get into the good stuff, don't you? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Well, that pretty much sums it up. I want to center on the one thing where he says about being unfaithful. Unthankful. You and I need to develop thankfulness. It's an effort. It's a leap. It's going to the next level to live a life of thankfulness. It's easy to criticize. Those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. Everybody can build a better mousetrap. I mean, I walked in the fellowship hall this morning getting ready to teach the class in there. And, of course, we have the kitchens there and everybody's getting coffee. And Dave and Betty had already solved the problems of the world in 5 minutes, I think. We get together. I tell you, you get me a cup of coffee and sit down. We can solve the problems of this world. We can run this country better. We can run that business better. You know, before long, we're running everybody's lives and doing it all over a cup of coffee. Maybe two or three cups. Maybe a latte. Maybe a Starbucks. Now we're talking. Okay. It's easy to criticize. And we all do it. Come on. I mean, sometimes it's constructive criticism, and that's good. It's easy, you know, to talk about something. But it's a different story when you're out there doing the thing. I may not agree with everything. Can you give me some water, Ted? Thank you. I may not agree with everything that's being done in our government or in a church, even another church. I mean, come on, we could talk about all kinds of difference between churches. But thank God we got other churches. Thank God there are pastors. Boy, that was quick, Ted. Ted just turned into Brenda on the front row. Thank God for churches. We got some differences, but we got some common ground. Hallelujah. I tell you, I thank God for churches in our town. I thank God for First Baptist. I thank God for United Methodist. I thank God for Calvary Baptist. I thank God for, I'm going to miss some here, First Assembly, Followers of Christ, Stone Point, New Release, Trinity, the Catholic Church. I tell you, if they name the name of Christ, I'm for them. Hallelujah. We're not competing with each other. We're completing each other. They're meeting a need and reaching out to people and got a hunger for God and a heart to help people. And for that, we ought to be thankful instead of just critical all the time. You know, we ought to be grateful. I wrote some things down when I talked about thankfulness that I thought would, three areas that I feel like we really need to center in on. And first area, of course, I think is concerning our country. We are citizens of the United States of America. I guess most of us are. And I tell you, this would hold true if you were citizens of another country. Wherever you live, you ought to be grateful for where you live, thankful for that government. You ought to pray for them. But, you know, this Thanksgiving season was a proclamation by the first president of the United States of America to start with, to thank God for our country. A lot of people don't realize that, but it's George Washington that actually declared that. Thank you, Ted. George Washington said, I wrote this down, part of his proclamation, the Thanksgiving proclamation of October 3rd, 1789, declared, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." Amen. That's our founding father of our nation, United States of America. William F. Buckley wrote a book called Gratitude. Y'all might remember William F. Buckley. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was a born-again Christian, Catholic, of the Catholic faith. Loved God, loved Jesus. And a very, very conservative author and critic and so on and so forth. But he wrote a book called Gratitude. It wasn't a real big book, but it was just his heart about what he felt like he owed to our nation. And I thought it was such a good, you know, effort on his part. We have a debt we owe to this country. You know, we talk about Memorial Day. We talk about Veterans Day. We have those holidays, and we give a little praise on those days. But people fought, and they bled, and they died, that you and I could sit here and have this service this morning. And although it's some of that's far, far away, years and years ago, it seems like, it still had to be done nonetheless. And we owe a debt to this country. We owe a debt to those that are fighting around the world for the freedoms that we hold dear. We owe a debt. We ought to thank them. I remember Brent and I were in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, DFW. We were going somewhere. I'm sure I was going out to preach somewhere like Hawaii or somewhere. But we were in the waiting to get on a plane, and over the intercom, here comes this big, you know, voice saying, "This plane has just now stopped and unloaded. Our troops from Afghanistan are getting off. Everybody stand up." Everybody stood up and started clapping. I don't know, for 15, 20 minutes as they walked through. Just got me. I thought, yeah, that's right. That's just right. To thank those men and women that are serving our country, you know, that we have a debt to pay. We owe that. We're living in a day in this country where people are not grateful. They're not thankful. They're demanding. Are you with me? They're just demanding. You know, welfare system and all the entitlements, and some are good and some are bad, but nobody seems to be grateful. Everybody, you know, seems to just be demanded. I read a book one time called Creed or Chaos by Dorothy Sayers, and she said in it, and I'm going to quote this, I thought it was awesome, "Of the money expended in charity, the greater part, for obvious reasons, is contributed by the rich." Always has been. Forever it's always been that way. Those that had always helped those that hadn't. Consequently, if the burden up to now borne by charity is transferred to the shoulders of the taxpayers... Oh, she was writing this quite a while back, incidentally, back in the 50s. If the burden is transferred to the shoulders of the taxpayers, it will inevitably continue to be carried by the same class of people. The only difference is this, that people will no longer pay because they want to, eagerly and for love, but because they must, reluctantly and under pain of fine or imprisonment. The result, roughly speaking, is that financially you have the same result. The only difference is you eliminate these two detested virtues, love on the one who gives and gratitude on the one who receives. Wow. Isn't that something? I mean, you know, we should help people. I believe we ought to help poor people. We're doing that every week here in our church. We're trying to help people that have needs, you know. The church traditionally over the years has always helped poor people. And rich people that love God, that know God, have always reached out to those that don't. When it becomes a law, which it has in our country, then we begin to be ungrateful and hateful. We're mad about helping them, and they're demanding it, and nobody's saying thank you. I think it was last year, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that a client's in a food bank, and we helped several people, got together and got a card, and just, I don't know how many of this is the sweetest card. Somebody got, and one of the people that come to the food bank got a card and passed it around to all the people out there and signed it saying thank you to our church. Now, see, I didn't expect that. I thought that was so, Debbie, was that right? Was it last year? Yeah. I thought, wow, you know, we don't do it for that reason, but it, you know, people should be thankful for what you do. And we should be thankful for this great nation, United States of America. Hallelujah. I really, you know, I thank God I'm in this country. I can't wait to get back to this country when I go out to other countries. I thank God for the freedoms that we hold dear. I can hold my head up as an American. I don't know what the world thinks about America, but I love this country. God bless America. God bless this nation. We got a real important election coming up, too. You need to get involved. You need to pray. And you need to vote your conscience and vote the Bible. Hallelujah. Well, that's true concerning our nation. It's also true concerning others. There's an old man said this one time when he was about to die. They said, what would you change or what would you do differently if you could live your life over? And he said, I think I'd get some more help. Are you out there? So I think I'd get some more help too, you know. He realized as he got older he was more dependent on people than he thought he was. I know when we're young, we're bulletproof, we think we can make it, you know, but we need each other. Yeah. We really do. And it's an effort. It's hard for me. It's something I really have to work on. Thanking people, you know, just acknowledging what people do. Yeah. I think about this church. There are so many things that go on, and so many people do so many things that make this church happen. I mean, there's nursery workers and praise and worship team, people that clean and, you know, and there's teachers and you got office staff and it just goes on and on and on and on. I'm going to miss people if I keep going this way. That make this thing happen. And so to all of you, thank you. It forces you. This is what's good too about thankfulness. It's proper. It's just right. Wouldn't you think so? I mean, it's proper. But it forces you to get out of yourself. To be thankful, you have to think of what others have done for you. What they mean to you. That's a good thing. Man, if you can ever get over yourself, you're going somewhere. I always say, get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. But if you can do that, if you can begin to be thankful to others, we talk about this country, well, it's just about others. Think of how that includes so many people. What about your parents? Now, I don't know if you had good parents or bad parents, but they brought you into this world. You know, hopefully they fed you and clothed you and took care of you. Maybe they weren't the greatest. You know, maybe you had some challenges. I mean, everybody in here probably could come up with something that would be called dysfunctional. I always like to think of Joseph. You know, his brothers threw him down a well, sold him to Midianites, and told his daddy he died. That's pretty dysfunctional. But, you know, he forgave him in time. David didn't have it all going his way. I mean, his father didn't even include him in the bunch. When the prophet showed up to anoint the new king, he left David out in the field. I'm wondering what David thought about that. You know, surely that it was probably an effort on his part, but it doesn't seem like he was bitter about his life and about his parents. Let me tell you something I read on a Starbucks cup. Don't ask me how I got a hold of a Starbucks cup, but anyway. You remember years ago they used to put sayings on Starbucks cups? Anybody remember that? Okay, well, if you're not a coffee connoisseur, you may not. But there was a little saying on there. It was somebody from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I remember it said that. And I'm paraphrasing greatly. But she said on there, she said, "My parents raised me and did the best they could. Now it's up to me." I thought, well, that's just powerful. You know, how many people live their whole lives, 50, 60, 70, and they're still talking about their parents, they're still talking about what they didn't have, and talking about what their parents didn't do. Listen, when are you going to live your own life? Thank God for your parents. They brought you into this world. Pray for them. Lift them up. Maybe they didn't do right. Maybe they did. If they did, thank them, you know, and if they didn't, find something to thank them for. But you know what? Now it's up to you. Your future's not determined by your past. Your future's determined by what you do right now. We need to be a grateful and a thankful people. You know, I thank God for my dad. He taught me, you know, the importance of reading. He read all the time. He's always reading, you know. And so I picked that up. I picked that up from my dad. And that's a wonderful thing to pick up. My mama was very focused and would never let go of anything. So in one sense, that's good. You can take a focus and being bulldog about things and in a good way. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, she was always real focused and hardworking. And, you know, I think about my parents. I got some things to be grateful for in that respect. Hallelujah. My dad's very analytical. Always thinks everything through, you know. And I picked that up. I picked that up. So, you know, there's something in you. I mean, don't wake up at the end of your life one day looking in the mirror and oh my God, see your dad. And you hadn't seen him till then. Or see your mother. I look just like my mama. You know, some people get scared when that happens. But hey, that's a good thing. You know, carry on some good things. Be thankful. Be grateful. I took the word thanks, T-H-A-N-K-S. Made a little, not an acronym, but I just took words off that. T-H-A-N-K-S. Thanks. Everybody say thanks. Okay. T, think about others. Got to. Will you thank yourself? That was so good. No, you thank others. Amen? So get out of yourself and think about others. Thank you for coming here today. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for laughing at my jokes. Thank you for acting like you're enjoying this. Hallelujah. Thank you for not looking at your watch. Thank you for amening when I preach. Oh, come on now. Come on. That's better. That's better. Thank you for your faithfulness. H, honor others and humble yourself. Amen? Yes. Honor others. You know, I think about I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Brother Osteen. John Osteen was our pastor for years. Joel Osteen's dad. I think of the impact he made on my life. What a difference he made when we started going to that church. And how encouraging he was, how uplifting he was, how stirring he was, how he fired me up, how he put missions in my blood. Just, I love missions. We're a missions church. But I got that from Brother Osteen. I know I did, because he just kept talking about it, kept talking about others, you know, and reaching out to others. And he was just so up and so positive and so, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. You know, and that got in me. It got in me. I thank God. I honor him. I honor him almost every sermon I mention him. Everybody knows Joe, you know, but Joe's dad. Actually, Joe's dad and Joe are like polar opposites. Their style is so different. And they were so different in the way they ministered. It's amazing. It's the same family, you know. And I love Joe. Joe's a fine young man. Loves God. Very genuine, very real. He is the real deal. He's genuinely kind and gracious and shy to a fault when you talk to him. And what an impact he's making. But I think about that. You should honor others. Honor others and humble yourself. I'm a product of a lot of input. I had three men that really impacted my life as far as mentors and teachers, people that I followed, listened to, and studied. Obviously, they're charismatic people. Of the charismatic persuasion. Brother Osteen, of course, my pastor, Kenneth Hagin, and Lester Sumrall. those three men changed my life. Changed my life. I listened to more of their teaching and read more of their books over those early years when I was born again. It just formed my faith and formed my boldness and just being real. Brother Osteen was a guy that was just real. You know, there was no put on about Brother Osteen. He was just real. It didn't matter where he was or where you went. He was the same. And I've tried to emanate that in my life to be me. You know, used to say, don't be anybody else, Mike, just be you. Used to tell me that all the time. Just be you. And God made you the way you are, so be you. Be you and be humble. Amen? And honor others. A, acknowledge others and accept our need of others in our lives. That's a tough one too. Sometimes we try to make it on our own. We won't call for help. We don't ask for help. We don't get people to pray with us. We don't confide in anybody. We're not transparent. We got all these secrets. Are you with me? We're holding all this in and we're not asking anybody to help us. We need help. When you're a little child, you're totally dependent on your parents and everybody. When you get a little older, you get what we call independent. But I'd submit to you, you still haven't got there yet. If you're just independent, you have not reached the highest level of maturity. The highest level of maturity is when you go from dependence to independence to interdependence. Well, you realize that you're a part of a whole. You know, John Donne said that. He said, no man's an island entire unto himself, but every man's a piece of the whole. And he talked about Europe as a continent. He said, if one clod, not that you're a clod, but that's the way he wrote it. If one clod is washed off into the sea, Europe is the less. Isn't that right? And then he goes on, he says, every man's death diminishes me, for I'm a part of mankind. Therefore, sin not, for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. I knew you knew that last line. But what he was talking about, society, the world, people, the bell is calling for you to be a part of mankind. God has set us in a group. He set us in a people. We are the people of God, and we need each other, and we need to learn to accept help from each other. Sometimes we're so proud we won't. So proud we won't divulge, we won't confide, we won't open up. I understand you can't open up to everybody. Not everything's not for public consumption, but you need some friends. You need some close friends that you're dependent on, that they're dependent on you. You don't need a lot of close friends. You need a lot of friends, but you only need a few close friends. Close friends can tell you when you're wrong, you'll take it. Close friends can correct you in love and you'll receive it. Are you with me? You need some of those, but you couldn't handle very many of them. You had a lot of real close friends, you couldn't handle that abuse. But you need some. You need some that you can talk with and confide with and pray with and so on and so forth. You got to acknowledge others and you got to accept our need for others. In thanks. Of course, we're reminded of our need. That's kind of the same thing. Need. Everybody say need. Okay. K, kindness of others. To thank people, you thank them for their kindness. You thank them for their how you need them. You thank them for what you've accepted from them. You thank them because you honor them and you humble yourself. You thank them because you're thinking about them. Everyone say kindness. Wow, that's not in vogue anymore, is it? Now the popular shows now are people that are rude, crude, and indignant. The popper disc jockeys are the shock jocks. The popper talk shows are the ones that get in your face. Used to you sit down and learn how to cook. Now you got to get screamed at and hollered at. Are you out there? Seem like the louder, the more hateful, the more in your face, the more popper the show is. Oh, come on. What's wrong with the world? I love what G.K. Chesterton said. He said, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, he was a critic and an essayist. He died way years ago. About the time of Dorothy Sayers, he was a contemporary there. Maybe a little earlier than Dorothy, actually. But he used to write for a paper there, and they wrote him and says, we'd like you to write some essays on what's wrong with the world. And he says, he wrote a letter back. He says, what's wrong with the world? I am sincerely G.K. Chesterton. You know, I think we're all wrong with the world. We got to get right. We got to get ourselves right. Amen? And we got to start being kinder. We got to start reaching out to people, loving people, and doing what Jesus told us to do. And then S would be, of course, service. That would be service of others. We ought to thank people for their service, thank people for their kindness, thank people for how we need them, and thank them for those times that we accepted them in our lives, and thank them for for what they've done, for what they've accomplished, honoring them, and think on them. And lastly, since you've gone the whole route with me here, I can't let you go home now. Concerning our country, concerning others, and concerning God. This actually should be first, but I want to make sure we left with this. You know, we would not be here if it were not for God. Well, I'm a self-made man. Well, who gave you your hands? Who gave you your feet? I work my fingers to the bone. Who put the bones in your fingers? You know, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, it talks about, it says, beware, 8:18, I think is what it is. Beware when you've gone into this goodly land that the Lord has given thee, when you lived in houses you didn't build and flocks that you didn't feed, and when your gold and your silver is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, beware lest you say in your heart, the might of your might in your hand has gotten you this wealth. For it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant with you as it is this day. Now think about that. I believe God wants to prosper us. I believe he does want to bless us. I believe he will multiply our efforts, no question. I believe he'll multiply our seed sown. I believe he'll get you out of that mess you're in if you'll turn it over to him. But just beware when you do get out of the mess that you don't give him glory and you don't honor him and give him the glory that's due to his name. Here we are, Thanksgiving. Well, ultimately, we've got a God to thank here. We've got a Father who loves us that we need to thank every single day, hallelujah, for our lives, for our strength, for our health, for our future. We're going to live forever because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have a home with the saints, a heavenly home, eternal in the heavens, waiting on me, and a new body's coming. No back pain? Oh, no. No Excedrin? No. No Advil? No, don't have to take any of that. No more hospitals, no more funerals. Hallelujah. Going to have new clothes. Going to have a new body. Going to sing a new song. Going to dance all day long and shout and praise and worship and woo! You'll look excited just thinking about it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Going to see all of our loved ones. Oh, my, what a day. Wouldn't be right if I didn't tear up at least once while I was preaching, huh? Go see our loved ones. Go see our friends. Go see people we missed. And thank God. Thank God. We got something to thank God for. I don't know how your day's going. I don't know how your life's going. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I tell you what, if you get your mind right, you get your thinking right, you got a lot to be thankful for. Thank God for this country. Thank God for others that have helped you. And ultimately, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You know, there's no way I'm going to turn to all these. I'm going to give you some verses. You can write them down if you're writing notes. I know Tommy's here writing notes. I do that. I write notes every time I hear a message. Psalms 138, verse 2, and 2 Corinthians 2:14. Psalms 138:2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. Well, we all thank him for truth. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest or known the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. Well, we all thank him for triumph. We ought to thank God for truth and for triumphing. Hallelujah. The truth of God is something we ought to get on our knees and give God glory for. Thank God I've got the truth. I've been lied to all my life. I've lied to myself. People have lied to me. The world has lied to me. The news has lied to me. Everybody's lied to me. And they didn't mean to. They're deceived too. If you're deceived, you can't help but deceive others. I've been lied to. I've been run over. I've been bamboozled. Are you with me? But I found the truth. I found the truth. Thank God for the truth. I found the truth that God loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. There's a way for me to come out of the mess I'm in. I can be forgiven. I can have a new day. I got a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. Yes. Thank God I triumphed with the truth. So I thank God for truth and triumph when I think of Him and all He's done for me. I thank Him for opening my eyes because I was walking around like a blind man. And everybody else around me was blind. And all my friends were blind. And everybody I hung around with was blind. The blind lead the blind, we'd both fall in the ditch. And I was falling in pretty regular. But one day my eyes were opened. The truth came. Thank God for the truth. My life is centered around the truth. You know that? My sermons are centered around the truth. This church is based on truth. The truth, the real truth, nothing but the truth. Truth of God. Truth of His Word. And truth of His Word is that you can triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. I thank Him for 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen to this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Amen. You know what I thank God for? I thank God He hears me. And I thank God He heals me. Yes. That He hears me and He heals me. Man, I think all the things that I could thank God for, these are just a few I wrote down. For truth and triumph, I'm winning now because of the truth. I'm going over now. I've got the victory now because I found the truth. The truth about God. The truth about Jesus. The truth about life. The truth about heaven and hell. The truth. I found the truth. And you know what? I'm winning. I'm triumphing. I'm going over because of the truth. Right now, you know, I know He hears me. Thank God He hears me. He's not a deaf God. His ear's not deaf. His arm's not short. He hears me when I pray, and He can reach and touch me when I pray. He hears from heaven. He's listening intently to me. He's listening for me to call. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. So I thank God He hears me, and I thank God He heals me. And then I thank Him that He answers me and He accepts me. You know, not everybody accepts you. You're not everybody's cup of tea. I learned that a long time ago. You know, really, I don't understand why everybody doesn't come to this church. I don't know why everybody doesn't love me. I don't get it. I don't know why everybody just doesn't get excited and jump and shout and holler and come back every time a door opens, you know. But you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. That's okay. Everybody's not my cup of tea either. Some people I receive from, some people I don't. Some people you receive from, some people you don't. Are you out there? But when it comes to God, God accepts everybody. I love that. You know, you may be different than me, but you know, God will accept you. I thank God that He accepts me. He has accepted me. He answers me because Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Thank God He answers me. And He accepts me, Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, whereunto He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He did it for me. I'm part of the family of God. I'm part of the people of God. I am a Christian because He made me one. Hallelujah. He accepted me. When everybody rejects me, He's accepted me. When everybody's forsaken me, He took me in. Hallelujah. And loved me and wrapped His arms around me. He was looking down the road waiting for me to come home. Yeah. Like the prodigal son. There He is. Been waiting all this time. God's been waiting for you all your life. And He accepted you. Well, I thank Him for that. I thank Him for never leaving me and forsaking me. You know, Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. You've never been alone a day in your life since you got saved. He's been with you every moment. Some people don't get on planes because of that scripture, because He said, lo, I'm with you. But that's another thing altogether. Lamentations 3:22. I hardly ever quote Lamentations. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I thank God that He doesn't leave me, and I thank God that He's ever merciful and new. His kindness, His goodness is new every morning. Hey, two more scriptures. Y'all ready? Maybe three. Okay. Ephesians 2:7, if you write notes, says this, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now, we think we're just going to be praising Him forever, but forever we're going to be finding out how much He loves us. That's what the Scripture says. So I thank Him for His kindness toward me. Because He's been so good to He's been kind to you when you didn't deserve it. You know, I've been teaching on favor and grace the last few weeks. Mercy is the opposite, is different. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. Now put them together and that coin is called love. One side is His mercy. He didn't give you what you did deserve. Grace, He gave you what you didn't deserve. Thank God that we don't get what we deserve because of His kindness. He said, in Malachi 3, you know, the sons of He said, you sons of Jacob, He said, if it weren't for the mercies of God, you'd be consumed. If God wasn't good, we'd all be dead. You know it's the truth. But He loves us and He's for us. Hallelujah. So I thank Him for His kindness. And then ultimately, of course, at the end here, close this out, because it is 12 o'clock. We want to be sure and beat the Baptists to the Brookshires. God bless the Baptists. Ultimately, Matthew 1:22, it says, the angel came and appeared and told Mary says, and Joseph, you know, it said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God for saving me. I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. This is not a job to me. Shouldn't be a job to you. I remember when I was lost. I remember. Wow. Come on, I'm just trying to close this out. I remember when I was lost. I remember when I called on Him and He saved me. I remember when He took me in and made something out of me. I remember being the most likely to fail before I met Jesus. I remember that. I remember when they kicked me out of high school. I remember being in jail. My dad was deputy sheriff. He put me in jail himself one night. I remember the things I did and the people I hung around with. I remember how hopeless I was. How helpless I was. Those days before I got saved, God was dealing with me and I was miserable, 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 miserable. Oh God, I was the most miserable person on the face of the earth, I thought. So empty. And I remember calling on His name. And He saved me. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Man, I apologize for not being in better control than this. I need to man up. But I do. I remember that. I remember how lost I was. Now how saved I am. How without hope I was and how much hope I got now. Now, no future. I had no future then, but I got a future and a destiny now. Hallelujah. I thank God that He saved me. I thank You. I don't ever want to forget how He took me out of the life I was in and put me in this wonderful family of God and gave me this future and gave me this destiny. You know, there are so many things we can thank God for. But you got to stop. You got to slow down. You got to start thinking about it to do it. Because we just live our lives, you know, we all live our lives. We all got things to keep busy with. But isn't it great that our country, this great nation, put a day aside to thank God? I know a lot of people are just thankful that it's a day you don't have to diet. But that wasn't the original intent. The original intent was to stop and honor God, who had saved us and protected us and brought us to where we are and saved us for such a time as this. Hallelujah. God is a good God, and He is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving.